at another church north of the river where my family used to live. We hadn't been going to church for very long, in fact. But one day my family decided to go, and after a little while, I knew that, well, I wanted to find out if God was real. If God is really real, then he needs to, I want to experience God. I want to know that he's real. And God has done that for me through his son. I remember walking down the front of the church and praying with the pastor, which I'm going to ask you to do by the end of this message. And walking down the front, and I felt like God actually lifted me up, and I didn't know I was walking. And I knew that God was with me at that moment. And as I prayed that prayer, something inside of me released. Now, I was only 11 years old. I was a good person. Most of us are good people. But I still felt that I was connected once again afresh with the Lord Jesus. And I want to talk to you about what we can have a relationship with God this morning. See, God desires relationship with us. As a young boy, I've seen quite a few things. I remember one day in church, and this man's leg got completely healed. God healed him. I remember another time, which you might find just quite strange, but for me it meant everything. Because when I was growing up, see, I've got quite fair skin. Not like many of you. I wish I had a different coloured skin, and in actual fact, because I love to be outdoors. But I'm grateful for the skin I've got, all the same. And I used to get quite sensitive skin, especially when I was growing up. And I had these styes come in my eyes all the time. And then one day, my mum said to me, "I'm just about sick of you getting these styes." And she put her hand on my eye where the stye was and said, "In Jesus' name be gone." I've never had a stye since. Never had a stye since. You see, God is for us. He's not against us. And this morning, we've seen many things happen in our church. We've seen backs healed. We've seen knees, people that couldn't move their knees. We've had all sorts of pain healed. You see, God doesn't want us just to have an ordinary life. He wants us to be extraordinary. If God is for us, the Bible says, who can be against us? I can personally say that Jesus has never let me down. He's a good God. He's loving. But you know what? Let's not brag about all the good stuff all the time. Sometimes I'll have a really bad day. Or sometimes a bad week. Or sometimes even a bad year. But it doesn't mean that God's not there. He's still there. And this is what this scripture is saying. God's still with me. I still experience his peace, and somehow we get through those situations, I reckon, a lot better than what I would have without God. And so the Christmas event is a person, and his name is Jesus. The Christmas event is a person, and his name is Jesus. God sent his son to earth in the person of Jesus. And the meaning of the name Jesus is God with us. God with us. And we can have Jesus in our life. Anything else, anything less is less. The religious leaders in Jesus' day did not have a relationship with Jesus. And in fact, they were trying everything they possibly could because they liked their rules and regulations. They liked to have everything set in a certain way so that they could control everything. And one day they're in the temple. They used to call church temple back in those days, and there was a man with a withered hand. It was all deformed, the Bible says. And the religious leaders were saying, "We're going to get Jesus on this because he's going to heal someone on the Sabbath, and we've set this rule that on the Sabbath you can't heal anyone because that's the day that you don't do any work." And Jesus knew their heart. You know, he knows our hearts. He knows everything about us. And he says, "Is it better to set someone free or for them to suffer?" And he called the man forward that had the withered hand. And he said, stretch out your hand. And as the man stretched out his hand, Jesus healed it completely. And of course, the religious leaders didn't know what to do. But I tell you, when we stretch out toward God, he puts life into every part of our body. He wants us to have relationship with him, and he proves it because we experience his joy of living. I'd rather have the life of God than not the life of God. Because one life leads to death, another leads to life, and one leads to resurrection life as well, through the blood of Jesus. And what he's done for us, as his scripture says. Now, so the main thing is having a relationship with Jesus. Secondly, Jesus is real. Jesus is real. You know, is it any, there are millions of Christians around the world. Surely they all can't be wrong. Jesus is real. He's not just something that we can have a, you know, just another nice person. And if he really is the Son of God, then we should experience him because he liberates our life. And so God is with us. He wants us to reach out to him. He wants relationship. And through our relationship both ways, you know, when we pray to God, he responds. God loves it when we reach out to him. We say, God, if you're there, or however we say it in our words, God's there. He responds. He responds. We know he is real. In Romans 8:28, just before this passage of scripture that I just read to you, it says this, Romans 8:28, New Living Translation, I think we'll put it up on the screen. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And what this verse is saying is through our relationship with Jesus, we know he is good news, that he is indeed real. And in the Christian world, the theme of Christmas often ends up being peace or charity or being kind to one another, having friends over, having barbecues, all those things. They're all good things, and none of those things are to be minimized. But they should not be emphasized at the cost of the main thing, the incarnation of God in Christ. God is with us. It's the most important thing you can know about God is in relation that God has a relationship with me. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to relate with others. And often, however, it is the least believed and accepted thing about God. See, something happened back in Adam and Eve's day when Adam and Eve were walking in the garden and they decided to eat of the tree of life. And suddenly they noticed their nakedness and they put clothes on themselves and they hid from God. Before that, it was heaven on earth. That moment, something happened that made us not quite right with God anymore. And of course, man's been blaming it on the woman ever since. And woman's been blaming man. But hey, all that really shows is that all of us have something in our DNA from way back then. We always try to blame someone else, do we not? None of us. And that just shows me that something happened back then that makes us not quite right. But Jesus changed all that. See, God knows what's best for us. And yet we are initially conflicted since this event in history. Internally conflicted since this event. And we misjudge it as God being angry and distant towards us. We fear we have guilt when in actual fact, Christmas changes everything forever. God has declared in Christ that he is authentic in his love toward us. He is for us. He is not away from us. We do not need to hide, think that he is the worst, think that he certainly doesn't want to love me, think that if I walk into church this morning, the roof's going to cave in. He doesn't think that about you. His love is larger than our sin. See, I've been in a situation where I thought I was actually a real goner. It involved my own father. And my dad was old school. He was quite strict. And he'd actually said to me, now there was a long weekend about this time of year, I guess it was a January one, and he said to me, "Now Nigel," but he probably said it a bit stronger than that, "Now Nigel, you know there's a lot of police around at the moment. Just take it easy on the roads. You're 17 years old, you've still got your P plates." And he continued to say how there was a lot of police because he drove around a lot. That was his job. And I said, "Yes, no worries, Dad." And I had a bunch of youth with me in the car. And we were driving up to Lancelin Way. And guess what happened on the way back? A policeman. I didn't want to go home that night. Because it wasn't just like a couple of points. It was like I was going to lose my license. I thought, I am a goner for sure. Dad is going to hit the roof. He's not going to speak to me for the next year. I'm going to have to like do penance or something. And like it was just my worst nightmare. Imagine not driving as a 17-year-old boy. Does anyone know the feeling? Some of you guys probably do. And anyhow, he did the most unusual thing, something that I didn't think that he was going to do. What he did was quite remarkable. And I remember it to this day, because my father's actually dead. This is a good story. You know what he did? He says, "Well, I'll just..." He was a bit angry with me, but he wasn't like, not his normal tirade. Let's put it that way. He was stern, but then he did the most unusual thing. He says, "I'm going to go down to the police station and talk with him." I says, "That's not going to work. You know, I'm a goner. I've done this." But he went down to the police station. Down to the police station he goes, and he comes back and he says, "Nigel, you've still got your license." I go, "What do you mean I've still got your license?" I don't know what he did down there. I have no idea. Now, I know we've got policemen in this. I don't think you'd get away with it today. But I don't know how much money he gave him. I don't know. I don't actually know how he managed to do it. Now, my dad was, you wouldn't want to mess with him. Like, he could get, you know, he was strict. He was an old army man. And you just want to get on his wrong side. I don't know what happened. But all I knew was it was good news for me. I kept my license. I don't know how. And then, of course, let me continue the story. See, God is not often what we most often think. Angry, mean, unforgiving, oppressive. The Bible says that Jesus is good news. And with him in our lives, we have his favor. And so we get the wrong idea of who God really is. I had totally the wrong idea. I wasn't sure my dad really loved me, but I tell you, that event changed everything. You know, we can often have the wrong concept of God. The truth is, he loves us. He loves us, he loves us, and he loves us some more. And he'll do everything he can to help us in life. That's what the Word of God is all about. See, Jesus has come to set us free. It was like a death sentence for me, no driving. It really was. I used to think I was a rally driver. I used to wear a little cap. I kept my license, and I didn't speed as much anymore. I'd like to say never, but you know, that's not true because we all speed, don't we? I don't believe you. I'm sorry. We all speed every now and then. Jesus is a real deal. Jesus is a real deal. His answer, just lost my earpiece, it's all back. His answer is that he is for you, with you, near you, and loving you. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him. We know. When we make a decision for the Lord, we know that he's with us. It's not just, are you sure? There's no more fear anymore. There's no more questioning. There's no second guessing. We know he's for us. We know he's with us. It's not just a nice thought. When we're in relationship with Jesus, we know everything is going to work out for the good. He is the real deal. And so we can confidently say, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? One more time. If God is for us, who can be against us? Wouldn't you want some of that in your life? Some of us have that already, and we appreciate who God is in our lives. But maybe this morning you'd like to have more of God, and I'm going to invite you in a little while to say a prayer with me to accept Jesus as Lord of your life. It will change your life forever. You can experience the love and joy of a God that sent his one and only Son to love on you. Thirdly, he is powerful in victory. He is what? Powerful in victory. With someone like God being there for you, there is no circumstances or no power that can match up. God is supreme. In Romans 8:32, we've read it, but I'll read it to you again. God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else? So if God did not spare the gift of his son, there is nothing else that can better that. Then everything else is ours as well. He won't withhold anything when he has already given the very best himself. God sent himself in Jesus. He gave his best for us. We cannot be separated from God's love, and that's what the Bible says. And even when we have trouble, like the scripture said that I've read out, when we have calamity, when we are having a really bad week, whatever is happening around us, the Bible says, despite all these things, Romans 8:37, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. The Apostle Paul finishes by saying that nothing can separate us from Christ's love. And he names all the big ones: death, life, angels, powers, demons, your name, it isn't sufficient. You name it, whatever it is. You might feel down on yourself, but God doesn't. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And we read troubles as a sign of disfavor and even rejection by God, which is why it is so important to understand that God is with us. There's a story in the Bible that I'd like to briefly share with you. And it's regarding Elisha. Elisha was one of the prophets of God. And in this story, he had a servant. And you see, this prophet Elisha would hear things from God. And that's what happens when we have a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We can hear things. We can actually experience things. And we know which way to go in life. He wants to speak with us. It's not like weird. It's simply we know he's there because he's deposited into us. And the Aramaeans, they were at war. It's in 2 Kings, and the Kings is all about wars in the Bible. And the Israelites were at war with the Arameans. And every time the Arameans went to attack Israel, Elisha would say to the Israel king, hey, don't go down there because the Arameans are going to go and hide out there ready to pounce on you guys. So don't go down there. And after three or four times, the king of Aram goes to his soldiers and goes, right, who's the traitor? Who's here that's been telling what we're about to do? And after a while and, you know, some pretty harsh exchanges, one of the guys pipes up and goes, it's not us, Lord, it's not. You know who it is? It's that prophet Elisha. He even knows what you're speaking when you're in your bedroom and just alone on your own. He has a direct line to God. You know, you and I are meant to have a direct line to God. And so the king goes, well, if that's the case, let's get him. Let's go get Elisha. And so they get a whole, they thought this guy must be pretty powerful. They got all their chariots. They got all their weaponry. They got all their, I guess they used big bow and arrows back in those days, you know. And they had everything they could possibly muster. And they went to the town where Elisha was with his servant. And they've surrounded it one night, or in the early morning, in fact. And then what happens is that his servant, Elisha, goes out to just, you know, say good day to the morning. Welcome to the sunshine and all that. Walks outside and just gets the fright of his life because the whole city is surrounded by chariots and horsemen. And he gulps and he goes back inside. Elisha, I think we've got a bit of a problem. Elisha says back to him, there's more on our side than there is on theirs. Come on. There's more on whose side? There's more on our side. There's more on those people that have a relationship with God's side than those that have not. And there is a war. And this war back then reminds us of something, that there is a war for every soul, for every person, for everyone that wants to make a decision for the Lord. There is a war that goes on in the spiritual dimension, that God is for you. And you know what happens in this situation? Suddenly, Elisha prays. It's always good to pray when you're in a difficult situation. Even if you're not sure if God loves you. You know, if this might be you one day, and maybe you're kind of thinking about God, always good to go, God, please, if you're out there, help me. It's better to do that than not give God a chance. Because God will show up. God will show he's real. And this is what happened. Elisha prays and says, open his eyes to his servant. So he walks outside again and he opens his eyes, and there, right around behind all the enemy forces, are these big tanks. And there's guys with, you know, they've got every kind of weaponry. They outdo 2-1 at least all the enemy. And then Elisha does something, because there wasn't actually a war. Elisha does something incredible. He prays, now, Lord, make all the enemy blind. And so all the enemy become blind, and he goes straight up to the general of the opposing enemy. And he says, this is the wrong place. Go over to Samaria, which is, of course, the head place for Israel. And so they all go over there. He opens their eyes again, and they go, gulp, my goodness, we've come. And Elisha says, don't kill them. Don't kill them. Give them something to eat and send them on their way. And never again did the Arameans, never again did they have trouble. Never again was there a problem with the Arameans invading. God sorted it out. See, when we have God in our life, we can be sure of victory. God is with us. He wants to have relationship with us. Thanks, Janelle. He wants to show that he is real. See, if God is for me and with me, on my side, by my side, he is with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to show he is real. He shows us that he wants to have victory through us for every situation. Sometimes we might think that it's too late or not, but God never thinks that. God has a different way of doing things than we think. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to be a part of your world today. Let me say these things. If God is for me, he is not against us. He's not opposed to us. He's not angry with us. God is with me. I'm not alone. I'm never alone. God is for me. Everything will work out according to his plan. God is with me. Circumstances can and will change, but God will fortify me in the middle of them. God is for me. Everyone else may not be, and maybe there are reasons. But nevertheless, God is for me. I might not be for me, but he is for me. God is with me. What will you do with Jesus today? Will you be like Elisha and call on him and make him real in your life so that he can demonstrate his power in your life? He is with you. Will you pray a prayer with me? And allow Jesus to have a relationship with you. And when you do, you will have little doubt that he is real. Jesus came to earth as God, that he would always be with us. Victory is ours, even in bad times, when we have a relationship with Jesus. Why don't we bow our heads and just close our eyes across the auditorium? Let's just have no one moving around just for a moment. God loves you. The reason for Christmas is that he wants to be with us. He wants to have relationship with us. He wants to have relationship with you today. He wants to show that he is real in your life. And he wants to give you victory. He wants to help you with situations that seem impossible. But is anything too hard for God, the Bible says? Will you invite Jesus to be Lord of your life today? Will you accept what Jesus has done in this Christmas season? He has come to be with us. Like that little video clip said, yes, he was a baby, but he grew up to have relationship with us. And then he did the ultimate sacrifice and died on the cross. And he died so that our sin is totally, that's why he did it, so that it was totally gone from our lives. And the beauty is, we know he's alive because on the third day he rose again. He rose to have relationship with us, not just for the now, but forever. Forever. Will you accept what Jesus has done for you today? If that is you, if you'd like to receive Jesus as Lord of your life, in a little while, I'm going to count to three. Would you please just pop up your hand and I'll see it and you can pop it down again. I'd love to pray with you at the end of that prayer and invite you forward. I'd love to do that and say, yeah, I want to invite Jesus into my life. If you've come with a friend today or a family member, please ask them to come with you this morning. Friends and family, please ask them, would you like to accept Jesus as Lord of your life in a moment? Ask them and say, yeah, that's me. I want to accept what Jesus has done for me. He wants to relate with you. He's real and he's victorious for us. If you've never received Jesus as Lord of your life, or this morning you know you need to recommit your life and say, yeah, I've been away from God, but today I'm coming back. On the count of three, pop up your hand. I'll see it and you can pop it down again. One, two, three. Thank you. I see your hand. Is there anyone else this morning? Thank you, Lord. Right across this auditorium, is there anyone else this morning? Say, yeah, that's me. I receive Jesus as Lord of my life. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. If you'd like to come forward, I'd love to pray with you this morning before we close our service. I'd love to do that. I'd love to pray with you. Will you come? Otherwise, we're going to pray this. We'll pray now together, and we'll do this together now. Let's pray. And then if you've received Jesus, just pop up your hand after I've prayed this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love. Come into my heart right now. Thank you that you love me. I repent of all my sin. I take leadership of your life. Come into my entire being. Be with me from this point forward. In Jesus' name. Amen.